Does bone loss occur around maxillary lateral incisor implants after they're placed in the maxilla? You know, today most referring dentists prefer to use implants to restore congenitally missing maxillary lateral incisor spaces. But after implant placement, in certain situations, there could be some recession of the gingiva, causing an unaesthetic appearance of the implant crown. This recession is usually preceded by bone loss around the implant. But not all implants have bone loss after their placement. Is there any way of predicting whether or not your young adult patients will have a greater or lesser chance of bone loss around their maxillary lateral incisor implant? That question was addressed in a study that was published in the International Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Implants in July 2009. I subscribe to this journal because I treat so many adults. I like to relate articles to our subscribers regarding important information that one can learn from this specific journal. I thought this would be a good study to review. The title of this article is "The Influence of Soft Tissue Thickness on Crestal Bone Changes Around Implants After 1 Year." This study comes out of Vilnius University in Lithuania, and it's co-authored by Tom Levikicius and several other research colleagues from the Department of Prosthodontics. The purpose of this study was to determine if initial gingival tissue thickness has any effect on marginal bone loss around implants that have been placed in humans. In order to test this question, the authors placed a total of 50 implants in 20 patients. At the time of placement, the authors measured the thickness of the gingiva right over the placement site. The patients were classified as either having thick or thin gingiva. Those individuals with 2 millimeters or greater gingival thickness were considered to have a thick biotype. Those with less than 2 millimeters were considered to have a thin biotype. After 4 months, the implants were restored with crowns. Then these individuals were evaluated 1 year later with radiographs to determine if bone loss had occurred. The authors compared the thick and thin biotypes to determine if there were any differences in the amount of bone loss. I think you get the idea. What did these researchers find? Remember the initial question. Does initial tissue thickness have any effect on future bone loss around single-tooth implants? And the answer to that question is yes, definitely. The authors found that the average bone loss around individuals with thin gingiva was greater than 1.5 millimeters after 1 year. But when the authors evaluated those individuals with a thick gingival biotype, they found that the average bone loss around those implants was only about a quarter of a millimeter. So there's your answer. It may be possible to predict which individuals will have bone loss and tissue recession around their implants placed in the aesthetic zone. So if your patient in the future has a thicker biotype and that patient will be receiving implants to replace missing maxillary laterals, you may have a better chance of maintaining the bone support around these implants because of the thicker tissue biotype. If you're interested in reading this study, you'll find it in the July 2009 issue of the International Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Implants.